Our Father in heaven, we rejoice that we can be gathered in this way as your children to express our love for you, our gratitude toward you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his death and his resurrection. We thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the scriptures. And we thank you that you have sought to teach us your ways. You've helped us to understand how you desire us to live out our lives. And we pray that you will have the freedom to speak to us, grant us insight into what you reveal in the scriptures, and how your high calling can be fulfilled in our lives, at a personal level and together in church life. We commit this time to your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 206th message. For today's message, there are two parts. The first part, I'll be speaking on the basis, motivation, and how we approach and evaluate all issues of life. And the rest of the message on the posture and the spirit-filled life. The basis, motivation, and how we approach and evaluate all issues of life. The posture and the spirit-filled life. When we align our heart with the posture of God and truth, it means the foundational basis of our lives and the primary motivation of our heart is God and truth. That means this involves our total approach to life. It involves every issue, every area. It's at the core center of our conviction, our motivation. You can say what basically drives our lives every moment, every day. It shapes our values, our perspective, our priorities, and it is the basis for our well-being, our fulfillment, and a life of fruitfulness. If we align our hearts with a posture, it means we will seek to ensure our motivation, our approach to all areas and issues, especially the major areas and issues, will flow forth from this posture. And this includes how we evaluate whether we are effective, whether we are successful, and whether we are faring well in the various areas of life. As Christians, we from time to time may consider, how can I know whether I'm faring well? What should I concentrate upon? And how do I know whether God is pleased with me? How do I know whether I'm living my life effectively? If we understand the posture of God and truth, we understand what it means to align our heart with the posture and the implications of the posture, you'll find that you'll give us the answer to all these questions, which are the vital questions of life. I have considered with you this approach to some of the major areas of life with you. I have considered with you the scriptures. As Christians, we all recognize it's important to read the scriptures. But why do we read the scriptures? How should we approach our reading of the scriptures? How do we know whether we are reading the scriptures in the way we ought to read? All these are important issues. But many Christians may not think very much about these things, and so they go through life day by day. Yes, they do try to read the scriptures. Somehow it's been impressed upon their hearts that it's important. Well, I've considered with you this subject from the angle of the posture of God and truth. In regards to the scriptures, we'll see that on the one hand, the posture is derived from what God has revealed in the scriptures. This is important. This has to do with the meaning of the authority of the scriptures inspired by God. How do we arrive at the posture of God in truth? We must see very clearly it's derived from what God has revealed in the scriptures, that God wants us to live in this way. But there's the other side of the picture, and that is the posture. Once we understand the posture, then we'll realize that the posture will help us to understand how we ought to approach the scriptures, including the reading of the scriptures. We've also considered another important area of prayer. Why is it important to pray? Why do we pray? Why do we want to pray? How should we pray? What should we pray for? And we want to know whether our prayer life is effective. How do we know? How do we evaluate whether our prayer life is effective? Are these issues clear? We've considered these things in an earlier message. In fact, the moment you align your heart with the posture of God and truth, prayer will flow. Another major area that comes through in the scriptures is preaching and teaching. This is a very important subject, but do all believers, including preachers and teachers, approach this subject in the same way? You'll find that there's quite a lot of variety. But in the first place, what is the meaning and significance of true preaching and teaching? Then for those who preach and teach, what should motivate? What should motivate the true preacher and teacher? And the approach, the goal, the content of effective preaching and teaching. If we understand the posture of God and truth, we will see that it is not for us to set our own goals, nor up to us to just decide what we want to preach, or to just try to cater for what people want to hear. And this is not uncommon. For the expectations of the hearers to have a very strong influence on what preachers preach. Should it be this way? If you look at the biblical presentation, if you understand the posture of God in truth and aligning our heart with the posture, which again I've considered all this with you, it comes through very clearly that these are not subjective views for us to adopt. And we have also looked at the biblical example of the Apostle Paul. He is a good example of an effective preacher and teacher, and how he went about it. Similarly, what should good hearers be looking for in preaching and teaching? Good hearers is a very important quality for all believers. In times past, I've considered this subject with you, examining in some detail the four soils, what is commonly known as the parable of the sower, but the emphasis, the parable is actually on the soil, the kind of soil. And who are the good hearers? And extremely important to be good hearers. So good hearers, you want to listen to good messages, good preaching, and good teaching. But what should you be looking for? What is good preaching and teaching? So, as I mentioned, understanding this whole area of the posture of God in truth, which, as I mentioned, we need to see it comes forth from the scriptures, and then how it helps us to understand all these various major areas of life. In the first place, why are they major issues? You will find that our understanding of the importance of these areas spontaneously flows forth from our appreciation of the posture of God in truth and what it involves and the implications. Likewise, for many years, we have emphasized the importance of moral and spiritual stature. Is it because we just choose to emphasize on this area? Why is it that moral and spiritual stature and character transformation is so crucial? and ought to be a primary goal of our lives. We have seen it. This is because it is the will of the Lord for us to concentrate on this crucial area. It's the will of the Lord, and this is the truth that He has revealed in the Scriptures. So whatever we emphasize, concentrate upon our personal lives as well as we gather together in church life must be what God wants us to emphasize and concentrate upon, and what has been revealed in the Scriptures, the truth of the areas that we ought to concentrate upon. And not only the Scriptures emphasizes to us the importance of moral and spiritual stature, and God wants us to concentrate on this area, its primary importance, but also the way to make good progress. So we want to make good progress. How do you make good progress? We have looked to the Lord. We have looked to Him in relation to what He has revealed in the Scriptures, how to make good progress in this area. And God is not silent. The Scripture is not silent on this area. It's not up to us to just sit down and consider what we think is the best way to go about it. And when we understand the posture of God and truth, you align your heart with the posture, moral and spiritual stature will flow. You will make progress in that area. And the more you align your heart with the posture, the more progress, the better will be your progress in moral and spiritual stature. In fact, there's a symbiotic relationship. It flows in both directions. It affects each other positively. That is, when you align your heart with the posture, you make good progress in moral spiritual stature. As you make good progress in moral spiritual stature, you will be able straight away to make progress in the quality of your posture. So now is a quick run through for you to see the big picture. This is part of the concluding messages on the posture of God and truth. So we look at this in detail. If you are scratching your head as I go through these major areas, they're still not very clear to you, then you may need to go back and listen again and refresh back. We've covered this in detail. Likewise, many Christians are very concerned about the issue of service, contribution to God's kingdom. And it is correct. We need to be concerned about this area. And many Christians do go about diligently, busily seeking to serve and to contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom. But it doesn't mean that you spend a lot of time, you concentrate on this area, that means you will fare well. The most effective way in which you can contribute to God's kingdom and serve God effectively is when you learn to align your heart with the posture of God and truth. Then effective service will follow. It will flow. If it doesn't flow, that means you have not properly aligned your heart with the posture. So the way to ensure effective service and contribution to the advancement of God's kingdom is by aligning our heart with the posture, because true service must be in the Lord and in the truth. So you need to nurture a relationship with the Lord. Know what is in His heart. You need to know the truth so that you can walk in truth and be built up in the truth, and like the Lord Jesus, manifest grace and truth in your life, from which will then flow true effective service as you learn to understand how to walk with God according to the truth that He has revealed in the Scriptures. And effective service, the goal, the ways, it must be the goal that God has laid down in the Scriptures, His actual purpose, what God wants to accomplish, and not what as believers we want to accomplish, or what other people expect us to accomplish, or just concentrate our energy on a certain angle that has been brought to our attention which can easily result in not only unwholesome service, but our inability to really serve the Lord well, and in fact, we ourselves becoming casualty on the battlefield, because we are not growing well in the Lord. And we really are trying to serve the Lord, either we are not effective at all, or if we are really onto something of value, the spiritual attacks and pressures will come upon us in a way that we will not be able to withstand when we are not grounded in the Lord and in the truth. So God's goal, God's ways, and God's strength, His guidance, His enabling, are essential for true effective service, and that can only flow forth from a heart properly aligned with the posture. I spent several messages with you to consider the issue of eagerness to learn, to know God and the truth He has revealed in the Scriptures as an important implication of aligning our heart with the posture. And this area of eagerness to learn, to know the Lord, to know the truth is revealed, we know again is crucial for us to fare well in life, in God's kingdom. When I say in life, you're talking about in the ultimate sense. Yes, you may fare well in the eyes of the world, but you cannot fare well in God's kingdom, truly fare well in life, unless in our heart there's the eagerness to learn, to know the Lord, and we actually grow in our knowledge of the Lord and the truth that He has revealed. So this attitude, this reality in the heart is crucial, and it is a direct implication of aligning our heart with the posture of God and truth. And in fact, if you know, as you look to the Lord, you realize that there isn't this eagerness to know the truth, to know the Lord, to grow in Him, then you know you have not truly aligned your heart with the posture. It's an essential part of aligning our heart with the posture. And as we have seen, this is a trait that's highlighted in the Scriptures. But beyond recognizing this truth, it's also important to go into, to understand all the various issues and implications involved. And what the Scriptures has to say on this subject, which I considered with you in several messages. I've also considered with you another major feature of in the life of a healthy believer, and is to be manifested in every believer, and that is a life of love and service in humility with perseverance and the heart of a servant. These are important traits of a true child of God. And this is what it means to respond well to God's call. There are Christians who will be enthusiastic, excited, and they think they are living their lives very well and God is very pleased with them. But if you measure their lives along this lines of a life of true love, service in humility with perseverance, the heart of a servant, then we find that he falls quite short of it. And you fall far short when you measure against this standard, then you cannot be faring well in God's kingdom. And this approach to life, again, will be an implication. It flows forth from a heart aligned to the posture. If your heart is aligned to the posture, then you will learn to live in this way. Yes, you may not straight away live very well, but you will keep nurturing. because you'll be learning to love the way Christ loves us. Again, we look at this in one whole message. And this is the way Christ loves us. The heart of a servant, with humility, with perseverance, and a true quality of love. And the Lord Jesus himself tells us to love one another even as and just as he has loved us. This is a very important aspect of our approach to life. So if we have aligned our heart with the heart of the Lord, then we will learn to love the way the Lord loves us. And you can continue on to examine all the issues of life and any area that's important in your life. I've given you these various examples. You can continue to reflect on other issues. But I now want to go on to consider with you the relationship between the posture and our response to the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, extremely important, but as in many major areas of importance, easily there are misunderstandings, misconceptions, confusion. And this area of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, sadly, amongst believers, there's a lot of controversy. But we mustn't shy away just because there's confusion and controversy. But it's just that we need to exercise care. Not everything we come across on this subject is sound. Not only it may not be sound, if you are not careful, it can lead you far astray. If your understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, there's significant error. And there are errors that are circulating in the Christian world. But we need to understand that it's crucial for us to understand the role in the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how to respond well to God's provision of the Holy Spirit for us if we want to respond well to God's call. It's a very major provision of God for us. You can say there are a few major provisions. The very primary provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other is provision of the Holy Spirit. You can say the next one is the God's provision of the Scriptures. And you notice they are all very interrelated. Another major area is God's intentions for us in church life. That's ordained by the Lord. And how he intends body life to work out. And you see that all these four areas, they are very closely interrelated. And they all need to fare well. We need to understand how they come together and how we fit into it. And if you do that, you can be assured your life will blossom. If God's people learn how to respond well to God's provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, and church life, your life will blossom and you will fulfill a significant part in the fulfillment of God's purposes. You will not live your life in vain. Whether outwardly it appears to be so or not. But if you respond well, you understand, you respond well in these areas, then yes, over the time, there will be many different ways where God will indicate that he is pleased, he is undertaking, he is blessing. If we know how to recognize the blessings of God, which is different from how the people of the world measure true success and whether things are going on well. So when we align our heart with the posture of God and truth, we will give priority to responding well to God's provision of the Holy Spirit. This is obvious. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God himself. He is also known as the Spirit of Truth. And you see the parallel between the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus is also God. He is also the way, the truth, and the life. We walk in him, we walk in truth. He is full of grace and truth. We have spent quite some time reflecting on this major area, and that is why the posture of God in truth At the heart of it, you can summarize in this way: for to me to live is Christ, or the principle of Christ lives in me. And likewise, now when we consider the Holy Spirit and how to respond well to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, also known as the Spirit of Truth, who will guide us into all the truth. So of course, if your heart is aligned with the posture of God and truth, you will have to pay a lot of attention to the role of the Holy Spirit and how to respond well to God's intentions for us in relation to the role of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Various of these areas we've looked at in different from different angles, at times at quite a lot of detail in other messages, but now we are looking at it from a certain angle, so I will go through quite quickly. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. The Lord Jesus says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth." I think because of time, there's quite a lot of ground to cover. I will not read every word. I want to highlight some aspects. We are familiar with these verses. So John chapter 16, verse 13, I want to emphasize this part, where when He, the Spirit of truth, He's known as the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He's known as the Spirit of truth, and a very major aspect of His role, His ministry, is to guide us into all the truth. And I see meaningful to appreciate the words here from this angle, which I'll say a little bit. And this is in fact a very important aspect of the role of the Holy Spirit. That is, He will guide you into all the truth. The starting point is to grant us insight into the truth, to understand, spiritual insight, not just head knowledge. But the other is, He wants to guide us into all the truth so that the truth can be absorbed, it can be a part of our lives, and we can walk in truth. That means truth becomes our actual experience. We enter into it, not just recognize it from a distance. You can have spiritual insight without the heart's response. That is not sufficient. The Spirit of truth wants to guide us into, so we enter into all the truth, and it's all encompassing, comprehensive, all the truth. In verse 14, the Lord Jesus says, "He will glorify me." And this is a very important aspect, the two coming together. We want to know the Lord, we want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and God's intentions for us in Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How do all these things come about? The role of the Holy Spirit is extremely important. And the Spirit has been poured forth so that Christ can be glorified. And I've mentioned from time to time a very important aspect of how the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ is the Holy Spirit working in our lives and then Christ glorified in our lives through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And bear in mind also, these are the words of the Lord Jesus in the midst of a few chapters in the Gospel of John, just prior to His going to the cross. And in this very important discourse of the Lord Jesus, spanning these few chapters from chapters 13 to 16, and then culminating in chapter 17, His prayer to the Father, there are very important truths in these chapters. In the midst of all this, a very important aspect for all this to come about, for us to understand and to respond well to what the Lord Jesus is trying to teach us, is the role and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into all the truth. So when we align our heart with the posture, we recognize we need to respond well to God's provision of the Holy Spirit. We will also recognize we cannot serve the Lord in our own strength. We've seen this. The posture of God in truth cannot be our own strength, our own wisdom. That will be of the flesh. But we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Spirit. So guided by the Spirit, the other is empowered by the Spirit. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Himself instructs us how what he instructs his disciples. A key verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Again, the context, very helpful. The Lord Jesus risen from the dead, and just before he ascended into heaven. Verse 3 tells us, "For 40 days you are speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God to the disciples," especially the apostles. Verse 2 mentioning the apostles. And verse 4 he tells them, he says, "Wait for what the Father had promised, and that is, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Verse 5. And this is very related to what he is telling us in verse 8. The empowering of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And that's how we become effective witnesses of the Lord. Again, this brother was mentioning just now about effective service. We want to serve the Lord. But the Lord Jesus told the apostles, wait. Christ has died, he has risen, and yet he told his disciples, wait. Why? He wants to impress upon them, you must be empowered, baptized with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. Then you can be my witnesses, even right to the uttermost part of the earth. So the Lord Jesus wants us to be his witnesses, to serve him well. But he wants us to recognize we need to be empowered by the Spirit. And not just whenever we need help, we ask the Spirit of God to empower us. There is a place for that. But first you need to be filled with the Spirit. Then the Spirit works in us, molds us, guides us, and also empowers us in all that we do. But from time to time, yes, in more major aspects, more important issues, we may sense a greater need of the empowering of the Spirit. We ask the Lord to specially empower us. There is a place for that. And also from time to time, to ask the Lord to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus impresses upon us, this is very important, and is recorded for us. And these were apostles who have been taught by the Lord Jesus. They knew a lot firsthand from the Lord Jesus. And Christ has already died and risen. But being filled with the Spirit, extremely important. And we see this taking place in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, verse 1. And then chapter 2, verse 4 tells us they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And after that, we see Peter straight away preaching with great power, many turning to the Lord, entering the kingdom of God. And if you read on, you'll find the Acts. This book is often called, or in fact in the Bible, you'll see it's written there, the Acts of the Apostles. We refer to this book as the Acts of the Apostles. Actually, it's Acts. But if you read through, yes, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, ministry of the apostles, but throughout you will find that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is actually a very prominent theme throughout the book of Acts. You can even say it is the theme. The ministry of the Holy Spirit flowing forth from the death and resurrection of Christ. The importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit, not only recorded for us, exemplified for us by the ministry of the apostles in the book of Acts, but also Paul, specifically in the book of Ephesians, instructs us, exhorts us to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Narratives are very helpful. And it can speak to us in many different ways. But there's nothing like clear instruction, exhortation, like in Acts chapter 5, verse 18. Very clear. In Ephesians 5, 18, when Paul says, "Be filled with the Spirit," he's not talking about special Christians. He's not addressing apostles or any special Christians, but he's addressing all believers. We must be filled with the Spirit. We can say it's imperative, that is essential if you want to grow well, to serve the Lord well. But before I go on to emphasize two important points in relation to being filled with the Spirit, let us again look at the context. And although I have to go fast, it's always very helpful for the meaning to come through. The immediate context, Ephesians 5:18, when Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, just prior to that, verse 17, he says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he says, be filled. So if you want to understand the will of the Lord, being filled with the Spirit is very important. And a little further up, verse 15, be careful how you walk. How do we walk well? Verse 17, understand what the will, then, sorry, verse 16, verse 15, be careful how you walk is closely related to making the most of your time and understanding the will of the Lord. As Christians, we are very interested in these areas. Very important. To walk well, make the most of our time, understand the will of the Lord. And all this is closely related to being filled with the Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, you will be in a much better position to understand the will of the Lord, to make the most of your time, to walk well. And if you go further in verse 10, learning what is pleasing to the Lord. And in a wider context of this whole passage, this whole context in Ephesians, you'll find that actually this is the part where Paul goes on to talk about practical outworking in Christian life. But look again at the bigger context, the book of Ephesians. In the past, I've gone through this with you. You can refer back to the earlier messages on this series on the mystery and the fulfillment of God's purposes, where I trace the whole flow of Ephesians, that it begins with the mystery and the fulfillment of God's purposes and what God intends for us in Christ and how His purposes are to be fulfilled. Especially chapters 1 to 3, and beginning with chapter 1, God's intentions were even before the foundation of the world. And then chapter 4 talks about the practical outworking in relation to church life and body life. And then from verse 17 onwards of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is talking about the various practical aspects of outworking for the individual and also for church life, how we ought to live our lives. But all this is with a goal towards the fulfillment of our part in our working of God's purposes. In the midst of all this, knowing the will of the Lord, being fruitful, living a life pleasing to God, careful how we walk, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. You can say, to live out all this well, we need to be filled with the Spirit. It's not optional. Be filled with the Spirit, Paul addresses all. And the tense there is not just experience it once. It's meant to be filled and continue to be filled. So, if you're not sure whether you're filled with the Spirit, important to ponder over this area. There is material available. Messages have been preached on this subject. How you can ensure and how we can know whether we are filled with the Spirit. And even if you experience the fullness of the Spirit once upon a time, are you now still filled with the Spirit? Walking according to the Spirit, which we will see after, very important. This is critical. If we want to enter into the fullness of life, Lord Jesus says, He has come that we have abundant life. We cannot have abundant life without being filled with the Spirit, without learning how to walk according to the Spirit. Well, I mentioned messages have been preached. Actually, the Lord willing, my subsequent book, the title and intent is The Spirit-Filled Life, which will cover this area of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how we can be filled with the Spirit, as well as some of the difficult areas and controversies and the biblical teaching on this subject. And in fact, there are already these 8 messages, which the Lord willing subsequently will become a book. These 8 messages have already been edited and posted on the website. On the death of Christ, the Spirit-filled life. It actually flows forth from the death and resurrection of Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But now I want to relate the fullness of the Spirit and experience of the fullness of the Spirit with a posture. And you'll find that it crystallizes for us this whole subject of the fullness of the Spirit and how we live out the Spirit-filled life. But even including the beginning, how we can be filled with the Spirit. A crystallized form of sharing this very important area with you. How a believer can be filled with the Spirit. So I want you to take note of 2 aspects. One is that I mentioned just now is imperative, that means essential for all who want to live out the posture well to be filled with the Spirit. If you live out the posture well, that's it. You'll rise up to God's high calling. But if you want to live out the posture well, then you must be filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you cannot live out the posture well. The 2 are closely related. The posture of God in truth, the Holy Spirit is God, and He's the Spirit of truth, and He leads us, guides us into all the truth. He empowers us to walk in truth. Essential. But interestingly, the second point to take note is the way to experience the fullness of the Spirit. You say, okay, to live out the posture well, I need to be filled with the Spirit, but how am I to be filled with the Spirit? Well, the way to experience the fullness of the Spirit is to align your heart with the posture. If you understand what has been communicated. So many may have heard and may agree with what has been preached, but yet you may not still understand. What is the posture and what does it mean to align your heart with the posture? Which the first concluding message I mentioned is extremely important, spiritual insight in actually aligning your heart with the posture and experience the reality of the posture. Aligning your heart with the posture. So that is critical. But if you know the meaning of the posture and what it means to align your heart with the posture, that is actually the way to the fullness of the Spirit. The actual experience, not just something you follow up in your head. The way to experience the fullness of the Spirit is to align our heart with the posture. When you align your heart with the posture, you can then ask God to fill you with the Spirit. And trust God that He will fill you with the Spirit. Because God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. And when you align your heart with the posture, you fulfill the condition for the experience of the fullness of the Spirit. There are many people who want to be baptized with the Spirit. They want to experience the fullness of the Spirit. But they are seeking for this with the wrong motives or mixed motives. And this can seriously hinder the experience of the fullness of the Spirit or give room for the evil one to manipulate their lives. And this involves experience of the realities in the spiritual realm. Extremely important, but also can be very dangerous. If your understanding of the truth is wrong or your motive is mixed. So this is a very important subject, but also important for us to approach it carefully. A sound approach, extremely important. But I want to emphasize this to you, that not only is it important, imperative for us to be filled with the Spirit, but God wants to fill us with the Spirit. And if we align our heart with the posture, we fulfill the condition, God will fill us with the Spirit. Align our hearts with the Spirit, with the posture, then by faith, ask God to fill us with the Spirit and trust Him that he will bring it to pass, because he has revealed in the scriptures that he wants us to be filled with the Spirit. We have seen Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. This is a direct exhortation to all believers, and the Spirit of God has already been poured forth. We are already living after Pentecost. It is now God's intention for every believer to be filled with the Spirit, but many are not. And that is a very major reason for the spiritual poverty in the lives of many believers, and including struggling with the spiritual life, struggling to understand truths and so on, because it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand the truth and grant us spiritual insight. And even if you have a good brain, there are many Christians with good brains, and they can understand many things with their minds, but they have not experienced the fullness of the Spirit, and there's very little spiritual insight. Very little spiritual reality in their lives. And this is very sad. And many of them are also aware of it. So do not be amongst those who are spiritually bankrupt. Because God wants us to enter into the fullness of life. And the way to enter into the fullness of life, we must be filled with the Spirit. So we can see why hopefully with more and more you will see why I spend so much time on talking about the posture and how to align our heart with the posture, because that is the gateway to all the major issues of the Christian faith. And it has to be so. All the major issues that God wants us to experience and enter into has to be in the Lord and in the truth. So this is a very important subject, and not a theoretical subject. Yes, the understanding, the spiritual insight is critical, but it's meant to be experienced, to be entered into. And that's where, over the years, from time to time, I've sought to impress upon you that sound doctrine is extremely important, but it's not meant to be dry doctrine. God's intention for us and what he has revealed in Scripture is never meant to be dry doctrine. And dry doctrine, yes, will put you to death. But when you when you properly appreciate the truths in the Scriptures, and basically doctrines are the truths revealed in the Scriptures, when you properly approach, understand these things, it will be alive. And you will never be dry. Your heart will be filled with gladness when you see even just glimpses of truth will excite you in a healthy way, spiritual excitement of a healthy kind. It cannot be something tasteless, or a phrase that especially some of the young people, not necessarily in our midst, but including, also applicable, but to be fair, it's not just only young people, but a phrase that you hear from time to time, bored. But old people also can be bored. But when you enter into the spiritual life, then life is never boring. Scriptural truths can never be boring if it is true insight. So that is critical. If our heart does not have that longing for truth, and if spiritual truth doesn't excite us in a healthy sense, then we know something is wrong. Our heart is seeking for the wrong things, preoccupied with the wrong things. When all the wrong things come into us, our spiritual appetite is gone. Just as a child fills himself with all kinds of things that are not good for him, then he has no good appetite for the really good food that he needs, that will nourish and build up his life. So I mentioned just now that the way to experience the fullness of the Spirit is to align our heart with the posture. And then we can trust God to fill us with the Spirit, and he will. Why? Because the role of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into all the truth, to enable us to glorify Christ in our lives, and when we align our hearts with a posture that is what we are committed to, we are fulfilling the condition. The Holy Spirit will have the freedom to fill us and then to bring about all these realities that our heart longs for. But if our heart is longing for the wrong things, then the Holy Spirit may not come in and fill us. Or there are certain aspects that may be proper, but mixed up with many other things that are not good, that grieves the Spirit of God. Then, of course, it will hinder. And this is also true for someone who experienced the fullness of the Spirit. It's still possible that various other things in our hearts that are not good, it will grieve the Spirit. So when we align our heart with the posture of God in truth, the more we align our heart, the more that is real, then the more it will be pure. All the various aspects will be exactly what the Spirit of God comes in for us to experience and to enter into and to live out. The Spirit of God has come in to enable us to live out what we've been talking about. That we say we can sum up the posture of God in truth as, for to me to live is Christ. I hope you still can have some idea of the central thrust of what Paul meant when he says, for to me to live is Christ. God's intentions for us in Christ will be fulfilled. And that is the meaning of aligning our heart with posture. And that is also the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has come that we can be empowered to fulfill our part in the working of God's purposes. And this is what we want to do when we align our heart with the posture. Not other things. However attractive they may be to the flesh, or the expectations of people, or what the world considers as big success. Or for that matter, even amongst in Christian circles. We must examine, test all things by what the scriptures reveal and emphasize. So whatever people emphasize that is consistent with scriptural revelation, we join our hearts. So we join our hearts with all those who love the Lord, who love the truth, and we must be prepared to learn from anyone who can help us to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, our knowledge of what God has revealed in the scriptures. But we also need to be careful to examine everything carefully. It doesn't mean that whatever we hear and read that comes under the umbrella of Christian or Christian literature, of Christian messages, that means it is sound and it is good. So it's important for us to recognize that all the major aspects that we are committed to when we align our hearts with the posture are the major aspects in relation to the role of the Holy Spirit, why God has poured forth the Holy Spirit. So why all these things come together so beautifully. So God fills us with the Spirit so that His intentions for us may be experienced and lived out in our lives. And that is what He has revealed in the scriptures. And we can say an epistle that crystallizes all these things in a beautiful way is the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible, if not my favorite. It's very, very powerful, very rich in meaning from many angles. And at the very heart of experiencing, entering to all the realities that God intends for us is to be filled with the Spirit, which Paul says right in the center. Right in the midst of all, he's talking about the practical outworking, which I mentioned from Ephesians 4:17 onwards. In the midst of it all, Ephesians 5:18, he tells us, be filled with the Spirit. And not only that, be filled with the Spirit is straight away followed up with verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking and making melody in your heart, with your heart to the Lord. spiritual ministry to one another, and also the expression of worship of God and the joy. And 20, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Now, if you do not experience much of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when you read these things, you try to identify with it. A lot of it is just words. And even you want to give thanks to God, but your heart, is it really filled with thanksgiving? But when you are filled with the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, then you will find that the thanksgiving, it flows out. It flows from your heart. It's spontaneous. You see, be filled with the Spirit, verse 18, goes on to speaking to one another. It flows. Always giving thanks. It flows. It flows from there. So you find that you have a lot of difficulty giving thanks to God. Then the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life is not rich. There are blockages. You will give thanks to God. You will worship Him. There will be the joy, the meaning. When the Holy Spirit is working deeply in your life, there's so much to be thankful about. And we'll soon come to it. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace of God. All this will be the reality of our hearts. Yes, in extremely difficult situations, we cry out to God for a deep experience of His peace. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you're living out your life well, then the love, the joy, the peace will be a continuing experience in ever-increasing measure. Is your life like that? It should be. So, starting point, to live out the posture well, you need to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit, understand, align your heart, then ask God to fill the Spirit. And trust Him to fill the Spirit. Don't look for spectacular signs. Yes, sometimes God may grant to different ones certain experiences. But the most important experience, and that will help you to know whether you are filled with the Spirit. Over the years, when I talk to brethren, sometimes they'll ask me, how do I know whether I've been filled? Especially as I warn them not to look for specific signs. Well, if you understand what I'm talking about here and the implications, it becomes very clear. When you're filled with the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit will be there, and the manifestations of the ministry of the Spirit in many different directions, the spiritual realm of a positive dimension, or the positive dimension, will come alive. As you read the scriptures, as you pray, as you walk with God, the spiritual realities of a positive kind and your prayer life. And here I'm not talking about feelings. And there are some who don't feel very much, and they're a bit disturbed. On the other hand, there are those who feel a lot. When you feel a lot, including of a positive kind, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't necessarily mean your life is very rich in meaning. It can be primarily feeling. But yes, there's a certain degree of reality there. Here we're talking of a positive kind, not to talk about the deception of the evil one. But there are those who may not feel very much, but actually the Holy Spirit is working deeply. Can we know? Yes. If you are not looking for the wrong things. So as I said, at a deeper level, the passing time becomes very clear. Our relationship with God, our understanding of the scriptures, the truths, and so on. All this not only come alive, but flows, and the reality, and the deep peace, the joy, the love of God. And many things we find God exhorts us to do, which we struggle with, very, very difficult. Now, relatively easier. And many aspects, in fact, very easy. I say relative because there will still be various aspects in our walk with God that can be very difficult, because there will be spiritual opposition. And there can be certain areas that are not easy to overcome. Some of it has to do with our lives and our own areas of weakness for many years. which the Lord will help us to overcome. But there are also many aspects that do with service. They are very difficult. So it may not be have to do with our weaknesses. Not that there are no weaknesses, but some of the difficulties and the struggles that we go through in spiritual warfare and in our service to God may involve the Lord's work in the lives of others and how God wants us to serve Him and the obstacles that He won't put in our way. But when we align our hearts, pray over, understand, ask the Lord to fill us with Spirit, we can trust Him that He will do that. So as we align our hearts with a posture, ask God to fill us with the Spirit, and that is the way that we can then, after that, meaningfully ask God to guide us, empowered by His Spirit. It doesn't mean we are filled with the Spirit, that's all, finish. When you are filled with the Spirit, then as we look to the Lord to guide us, to empower us, because it's a continuing thing, then we will find the experience of this real, meaningful, and that's where we begin to truly learn to walk by the Spirit. Then this will not just be words, phrases to us. And the scriptures tells us we must learn to walk by the Spirit so that we will not yield to the desires of the flesh. From time to time, I have also tried to impress upon you that the weakness of the flesh is a reality that all of us have and will continue to have this weakness of the flesh throughout our time on earth. At no time will it be obliterated. All who are born after the fall, and that includes all mankind, the weakness of the flesh will be there. And Paul describes this vividly in Romans 7. But Paul in Romans as well as in Galatians also tells us that we need not yield to the desires of the flesh. How? Galatians 5:16, he tells us, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So that is how we overcome the weakness of the flesh, by learning to walk by the Spirit. This is the way to the overcoming life. It is the Spirit-filled life. It's the way of life of true freedom in Christ. Galatians 5, verse 1. I still have quite a bit which I don't think I can finish today, but perhaps I'll just say a few more things for today to round up this aspect. The way to this overcoming life is the Spirit-filled life, is by learning to walk by the Spirit so that we will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And for this, helpful for us to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that God's intention for us is to have a life of true freedom. And this life of true freedom is in Christ. 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we long for this freedom in the Lord. And how we can enter into this freedom must be on the basis of what was accomplished by Christ on the cross. His death, His resurrection. But you see that this is closely linked with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, for freedom that Christ has set us free. But Paul warns us, it's not a freedom to be distorted into opportunities for the flesh. Verse 13, you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. See, a lot of Christians, when they don't quite understand this, they think, no, I'm free. It's true, we are not bound by the Old Testament laws. The approach in the New Testament is quite different. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's a freedom in the Lord. But this freedom is not to become distorted into opportunity for the flesh, but Paul says through love serve one another, and love will then fulfill the law. When you walk according to the law, you have fulfilled the law. How does this work out? Verse 16, Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Even if you want to walk according to love, you don't want to yield the desire of the flesh, you will not be able to do that. You will be Romans 7. As Paul says in Romans 7, we are flesh sold into bondage to sin. All of us are in the flesh. And this bondage to sin. We were like that before we were Christians, Ephesians 2, walking according to the course of this world, under the influence of the forces of darkness, walking according to the flesh, the desires of the flesh. That's what's described in Romans 7. And Christians can still live like that. But we must not live like that. And Paul tells us in Romans 7, the way to freedom, who will set us free? It is Christ. And then Romans 8, 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. This freedom, Christ has set us free, is then linked to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is the law of the Spirit of life. When you experience the fullness of the Spirit, then you walk according to the Spirit, it is the law of the Spirit of life. That becomes your way of life. It will set you free from a life of sin and death, from bondage to sin and death. But it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's for all those who are in Christ. So see it all, how it all comes together. It's on the basis of the cross. But we need to recognize Christ himself tells us we must be filled with the Spirit, and Paul exhorts us in the same directions in Ephesians 5:18. The Lord Jesus told the disciples, wait, you need to be baptized with the Spirit, then you can be empowered. Yes, his death, resurrection, then it results in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The scriptural revelation in this area is very important. It's not ambiguous, but yes, it can become confusing. Be careful not to become confused. Neither put this aside. It is critical. These are central doctrines of the scriptures. And it's important for us to understand and to respond well and to enter into the realities. Ultimately, our walk with God must be of a spiritual nature. Likewise, spiritual service, advancement of God's kingdom must take place in the spiritual realm. The flesh cannot accomplish any of these things. So if we love the Lord, we want to enter into the abundant life, we want to serve God well, bear in mind, these aspects are not optional. It is essential. All of us should have experienced something of these things, but some of us have experienced this truth to a fuller sense, but some of us may not have. Some of us have experienced the meaning to a certain degree that's meaningful, but understanding not so good. So I want to tell you, when your understanding in some is not so sharp, it does not mean you cannot experience the reality. In fact, I'll put it this way. It's more important to experience the reality than to understand but no experience. But of course, understanding is very, very important. Understand plus experience, and you know how to go about it, your life blossoms if you respond well, and also will keep you from going astray. The other is to help you to understand how to enter fully, how your life can truly blossom. If the understanding is not so much, because your attitudes are good and some of the fundamentals like commitment to God, you know you're weak, you need to depend on God, all this you know, and you respond this way, you will still experience, because God will still guide you, empower you, and you can experience the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because all of us who are born again, we are born of the Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you're a true believer, it cannot be that you do not experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit at all. But how much you can experience of the Holy Spirit, there are two important aspects. One is the knowledge of the truth, the other is the appropriate response. And that is the life of faith. Recognition of the truth with the appropriate response. This applies to all issues, all areas, including this very important area of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I have to stop here for today because of time. Prayerfully ponder about these issues. If the Lord is speaking to you that there's a need for you to go more fully into this subject, then do not neglect to do so. As I've mentioned, these areas have been gone into in detail, preached, and also now this area of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-filled life, they are also edited, posted on the website. But bear in mind, if you want to go into this area, you need to go into it prayerfully. The heart must be eager to know the Lord, eager to know the truth, at the same time carefulness to check with the scriptures, and to guard against accumulating dead knowledge. There must be the eagerness to know the truth because you know the truth is important, is precious, and you want to absorb the truth. You must go into this area with this attitude. Otherwise, you damage your life. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake of Lord's Supper, reflect over the goodness of God, His provisions for us, what He has revealed in the scriptures of how we can enter fully, experience the fullness of life He intends for each one of us through His provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled life, how to walk according to the Spirit, how to abide in Christ and He in us, how to live according to the principle of no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. A heart that is hungry, thirsty for a deeper knowledge of God and the truth that He has revealed in the scriptures, in whatever way the Lord sees fit, to speak to us, to teach us. Not allowing anything to hinder us into this fullness of life that God desires for us. Willing to put aside, lay aside whatever hinders entering into this fullness of life that God intends for us. Motivated by a deep desire to be faithful to God, and not just because we want to have certain experiences, because we treasure God's intentions for us and we want to enter into that life so that we will not receive the grace of God in vain, so that God's provisions for us will not be in vain. So let us pray the Lord will help us not to be neglectful, not to be careless, not to harden our hearts, not to be presumptuous. But even now, tell the Lord that we love Him, we commit our lives to Him, and we want Him to show us the way to the fullness of the Spirit. And if we understand how to consecrate our lives to God, how to align our heart with the posture of God in truth, reaffirm the aligning of our heart to the posture and ask the Lord to fill us. Even if you're not sure whether we feel the Spirit, Even if we know that we've been experienced this before, we can still ask the Lord to fill us afresh with the Spirit, because the experience of the fullness of the Spirit is not once and for all. But Paul's exhortation to us is to be filled and continue to be filled with the Spirit. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. We thank you for his death and his resurrection. We thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We pray that as we align our hearts with the posture, you'll fill us with the Spirit and teach us how to walk according to the Spirit. We pray that you help us to know how to appreciate the Scriptures, and that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to grant us insight into the truth revealed in the Scriptures, so that we may be able to experience the abundant life you intend for us, that each one of us and together as your people, we may respond well to your high calling, and that we may faithfully fulfill our part effectively in our working of your purposes. Even now we ask that you will prepare our hearts, that we may not partake in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. We ask that you will wash away our sins, renew us in the right spirit, help us to put away all that grieves the Spirit of God, and help us to partake in faith, so that we may be strengthened afresh, experience afresh the life of the Lord, and that we may be strengthened to live our lives well for you. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.